the third chapter, verses 1 through 10. Exodus 3, 1 through 10. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. The bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn now aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out, called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them from out of the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of the land into a good land and large, into the land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come upon me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that which thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Good morning. It is good to see everybody here that is here. And just think how much more it would seem like if our young people were here that have gone to CYC. And according to Nick's text, they made it safely there Friday in time for their session. And they went out to eat and went to the room. And I guess they had a full day yesterday. And hopefully they'll be home this evening. It seems like a worthy venture for them to be, to get to go, and to find out, or to be reassured, that they are not alone as those that believe in God just around here in this area, but that there are probably thousands of them gathered over there. I went to polishing the pulpit several years ago for the first time, and one of the things I was so amazed at was how many Christians were gathered there. In that one place. And so it gives you some hope that we're not just a small group here in Tresmond, Tennessee, but that we're just a small part of that which is still alive and well in various parts of our country. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we hope you feel like you're our honored guest, because we feel that way, and hope that you'll be back and be with us at every opportunity that you might have. It is so good to be here, and Pond and I are just so excited that we have this opportunity to be here and to be with you and to be a part of this congregation and to work here and serve you and serve the Lord. And so we're thankful for the thoughts and prayers that we receive and the good words that you are so kind to do. Steve acted a while ago like he was going to steal my clicker. And that reminded me of a time years ago when I really had to have my outline in order to preach by, and the song leader hid it from me. And I didn't know it till I got up to speak. Little did he know that that made it last longer, because I had to try to do it from memory. Last week, we looked at a lesson called Immeasurably More. And in that lesson, we saw how God was able to do immeasurably more than they could think or ask through certain of those that He called to do something. Joshua and Jericho and Gideon and his army, and Jonah, the reluctant prophet, and Elijah and Elisha, who were sent to widows, and they were sustained. They were poor, but they were sustained for periods of time. And then when Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but in all of that, God gave the increase. When people do what God says for them to do, then He works through them immeasurably more than that person could even think or ask, much less do. I wanted to follow that this morning with a challenge to us, a challenge that we will do more. That just seems appropriate to follow that previous lesson up, that we need to be challenged to do more. Because if we're doing more than we have before, then God's going to do more through us in a way we can't imagine. And so this is our part of last week's lesson of Immeasurably More. But I want us to begin with our text and the example that we have before us in the person of Moses. And the reason I picked this particular example is because it's easy to make a transition from Moses to us. And so as you think about our text, Moses, a man who escaped the Pharaoh's execution of the Hebrew sons that were born during that time, and then was raised in the house of Pharaoh by his daughter, but at the same time, as an infant, was nursed and trained a little bit by his birth mother. And then at the age of 40, having been raised this way, he witnessed some of his Hebrew brethren being abused by an Egyptian taskmaster, and his reaction was to kill that taskmaster. And he, thinking that it was in secret, went about his business, and then at another opportunity when some Hebrews were contending with each other, then he wanted to step in and help them, and their question to him was, are you going to kill us too? And then he realized that he had been seen. And it wasn't a secret, and so he fled. And he fled to the land of Midian. And there he met a man with sheep, who later became his father-in-law. And Moses then spent the bulk of the next 40 years of his life tending sheep. And on this, in our text then, it mentions on a particular day he went to a particular place and ended up at the Mount of God. And God there appeared to him in a burning bush. That's the way we call it. It appeared like it was burning, but it really wasn't burning. But there's the presence of the Lord in this bush, and out of it He spoke to Moses, and this is the basic message here through the first 10 verses. I've heard the cry of affliction of my people Israel, and I want you to leave here and go there and tell Pharaoh to let them go so they can worship me. Now, Moses being sent to Egypt. Now, before we get into the thing, the dialogue that he and God have, I want to think about it from this perspective. God wasn't going to give him a bucket load of money and go down before Pharaoh and say, here is an offer. I will pay for the redemption of Israelite people so they can leave and go worship God. That wasn't what God intended for him to do. God also wasn't sending him with an army with which he might overwhelm Pharaoh and his army and deliver those Israelites from bondage. And even if he did, where would be Moses' military experience as we think about his raising, and particularly his last 40 years? How much military experience would he have raising sheep, tending sheep? So, nothing that men might think to use. In order to go to deliver some people from bondage, Moses wasn't given that. And guess what? In an effort to get 2 million slaves delivered, Moses says, I don't want to go. But I want to think about his conversation just a little more in detail. For the first thing Moses said was this, who am I that I should go? Why are you picking me for this job? I'm nobody, in a sense. That's the way he's thinking. Plus, in addition to that, he's probably still thinking, even 40 years later, I'm afraid to go back there because I left because I murdered somebody. And they would be after my life. But God told him, I will be with you. Don't you think that a rational person might think, the Almighty God, who's appearing to me this way in a bush that's not burning up with fire, he's going to be with me. I need to go. But that wasn't Moses' response. Moses says, who shall I say sent me? If I decide to go and I go down there before this great man Pharaoh and before the Israelite people to tell them why I'm here, who shall I tell them sent me? Now he's just looking for excuses. Well, God told him, you tell them, I am that I am hath sent me. And they should know who that is. He went into more detail, telling him some more about that. But he's given Moses everything he needs in order to be convincing that, yes, I'm here because God, the Almighty, has sent me, and he's here with me to help me perform this. But that's not Moses thinking. He says, they won't believe me. How am I going to make them believe me that you sent me? Well, God said, take that staff that's in your hand and lay it down on the ground. He did. It turned it to a snake. He said, they reached down to pick it up. And he did, and it became his staff again. That's a pretty good symbol, wouldn't you think? But he gave him more. He said, take your hand and stick it in your bosom and then bring it out. And what do you see? It was leprous. He says, now put it back in and bring it out again and it's clean. That would also be an amazing thing. He even then told him, he said, if they don't believe you after those two, you can even do this. You could take some water, pour it on the ground, it's going to turn to blood. Signs. In other words, God said, I'm not just going to be with you to accompany you, but I'm going to be there to provide for you so that you will be adequately armed, if you will, for this task. But then he says, well, you know what? Even though you're telling me all these things, I can't talk very well. I can't go before this mighty Pharaoh and speak before him. I'm slow of speech. You know what God said? I'm going to put my words in you. I'm going to give you what to say. You don't have to worry about that. I'm the one that made you. Do you not think that I can provide you with the words to say? Moses said, why don't you just send somebody else? Now, you know, when he got to this point, God has demonstrated some long-suffering in there back and forth. But now God got angry and let him know he was going. He says, and I'll give you your brother, Aaron, to be your spokesman, since you don't feel like that I can't adequately prepare you to say the things I want you to say. You can have Aaron, your brother, to be your spokesman, and I'll put my word in his mouth. So Moses went. But can't you see how that we, as human beings, are a lot like Moses when it comes to serving God? I can. We asked a question. why should I be the one to do it, particularly from this frame? Why should I always be the one to do it? You know, whenever we're planning something in any group, it doesn't have to be the plan for here, but when a group of people are getting together to do something, there's a few that end up doing all the work. And if they get together and do it again, those same ones are going to be the ones to do it again. And so after a while, those that even want to be doing it are thinking, why should I be doing it, be the one to do it every time? Let somebody else take a turn. That's the way we are. Or when it regards the service to God, things that we ought to be willing to do, which is to reach out and talk to people. Now, it doesn't have to be preaching a lesson from the pulpit or teaching a class for the adults or the teens or the little ones or whatever. It doesn't have to be that. It could just be talking to somebody one-on-one. We all know somebody that needs encouraging or somebody that needs to be brought back to the fold, you know, like the lost sheep and the lost coin. Or we know somebody who's never heard and obeyed the gospel and they don't know anything about God and Jesus. Or if they do, they have a distorted view of the truth. Shouldn't we be willing to talk to them? But I'm not good at talking to people, they might say. How good do you have to be to say, you know what, there's a lot of Bible knowledge that we have available at our congregation. You ought to come and be with us sometime and just partake of that. How difficult would it be to say something like that? Or to hand somebody a tract. It says something about the church or God or the truth or something. It says, would you mind to read this? And then in a few days we'll get together, and if you have questions, I'd love to try to answer them for you. And if I can't, I can get you to somebody that can. Can you not do that? Can you not go and see somebody that needs encouraging? Tell them, or write them a card, or give them a phone call, or something. We can do those things. But one of the reasons we think that we can't talk to people is not so much that we can't speak well, it's because we're not confident in how well we know what the Word says. You know, the churches of Christ used to be known. They're the ones that know what the Bible says. Because, I can't say because we did, because I wasn't a part of it then, but we did. There was a comedian, and sometimes he was on Hee Haw, Grady Nutt. And Grady Nutt said one time in public, you don't want to get to a Bible discussion with people from the churches of Christ because they cheat. Then after everybody's wondering what he says they know what's in there. And that's supposed to be funny, but really that's kind of the perception that we had. We knew what was in there. But now we have people saying, I don't know the Bible very well. You might be surprised how much better you know the Bible than the average person that goes to church somewhere. But that's just another excuse that we use. And so then we just say, get somebody else that can do it better. You know, it doesn't matter how well you do it, does it? What matters is if you do it. So as we're thinking about this, while we're like Moses, now let's get to our challenge. I want us to be challenged to do more. And not to do more so I can, or you, or anybody can say, look at what all I'm doing. That's not what this is about. What this is about is our commitment to God. And are we going to be like Moses, or are we going to be like Isaiah, who said, here am I, send me. So God told Moses in their discussion, I will be with you. I hope that if I were in a similar position and God was speaking to me like He was to Moses, and He said, I'll be with you, that I'd say, that's enough for me. I'm going. In Matthew 28:20, the end of those several verses which we call the Great Commission in Matthew, it begins with, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." Man, that's powerful. It also has an inclusion in there for everybody who would become a disciple of Christ through the preachings of the apostles, and then later on from preachers of from the teaching and preaching of new disciples. Jesus says, "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Well, wouldn't being going and sharing about Jesus be part of that? And that's for all of us to be a part of that some way. Also, in Hebrews 13:5, we have this thought: "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's with us. And Romans 8:31 says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Now, these are passages that should be an encouragement to us to know that if we're trying to do what God wants us to do, He's going to be right there with us. And so if we decide that we're going to commit to do more, then guess what? God's going to do immeasurably more. For all we can do is plant and water. God gives the increase. It's not our responsibility for who obeys the gospel based on our preaching or teaching or reaching out to them. That's not our job. Our job is to sow the seed, and God will do the measurably more. So here are some ways individually that we can do more in our service to God. And one of those is we can pray more. Now, I have no way of knowing what your individual prayer lives are like. That's not the point of this. You know what your prayer life is like I know what mine is like. And it's not a comparison between me and you or anybody else comparing one to another. It's how is my prayer life compared and what can I do to more? I'm comparing to me. You should compare to you. What can you do to do more? There are some whose idea of prayer is when they gather together for a meal, they ask thanks for the food. Or when they have young ones and they're trying to teach them a little bit about a relationship to God, and they sit down with them at night and say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." If that's the extent of your prayer life, you definitely can do more. But the Bible is filled with encouragement and instruction for us to pray about everything, giving thanks, praying for others. You know that Paul and Tim and Peter both encourage people to pray for the leaders of the countries, the kings, and those in authority? Of course he did. And to give thanks and to make your thoughts known to God regularly. Pray without ceasing is one of the thoughts. I know as a human being that sometimes I think I'm smart enough or wise enough to make the right decision about things in my life without getting in my closet or on my knees and asking God what He thinks. Don't you know that's what He wants us to do? So we pray for one another. We pray for our elders that they will lead us in the right way. We pray for those that serve us in various capacities, that everything they do will be in accordance with God's will. We pray that He will bless us, keep us safe during the storms when we travel. But have you ever thought about praying for wisdom and knowledge and understanding? James says if you ask God for wisdom, He'll give it to you. Or have you ever prayed that God would send somebody for you to talk to? Probably not, because that means if He sends me somebody, then I'd be obligated to talk to them. We can read more. We certainly need to read this more. And if the only time that yours ever gets opened up is when the person gets up to read Scripture before the sermon, or a little bit you might open it up in Bible class or something, but at home it's just a decorative book on your coffee table. Or it's even worse, it's not even on the coffee table, it's on the bookshelf where you never get it out and look at it. Then how much exposure are you getting to that which is the Word of Life? The instruction for the man of God to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We need to read the Bible more than we are now. Not again, I don't know how much you read it. I know how much I read it, and I can read more. On top of that, we can read books. Books that are written by faithful men and women. They have insight. Sometimes that we haven't thought about a particular verse or a particular topic just the way they did. But then when we read that, say, man, I wished I'd have thought of that earlier. We read good books. We can attend more. God, through His Word, through His inspired men, said, appoint elders in every church. And then we know from the Scriptures about the elders that they are the ones who, from a local perspective, have the rule over us. Not like a king, but they're the shepherds. They're the overseers. They are the ones that make sure that we're fed properly, spiritually speaking. They're the ones who have charge with our souls. That's an awesome responsibility that they're willing to take on to do that for us. And I'm using all that to say this. It is their decision that we have a Bible class on Sunday morning, followed by a worship service on Sunday morning, followed by another worship service Sunday afternoon sometimes, but most of the time on Sunday evening, and then a Bible class on Wednesday night. In addition to that, we have BBS, we have gospel meetings, we have a singing. There's other things that they've determined that for the benefit of the flock, that we should be together for those, but yet we have those who come 1 or 2 hours a week. Even if you come Sunday morning for both and Sunday night and Wednesday night, that's about 4 hours out of your whole week that you would be here. And where else can you be that's better than being here with other Christians? I purposely picked the songs this morning, most of them, to try to match some of the things I was going to talk about in this lesson. And one of those, we sing. One of the things we're expected to do is sing. And I'm not fussing at you about singing because I'm talking about attending. But if you're not here, how can you and I teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? I can't. If I'm here and you're not, I can't teach and admonish you, and you can't teach and admonish me. We're not fellowshipping one with another in these opportunities that the elders have prescribed for us in order to be together. A challenge that we should attend more. And a challenge that we can give more. And again, I don't know how you give. That's not my business to know. I know how I give. And each year, at the beginning of each year, I think, this is what I did last year. I'm going to do a little bit more this year. And not just because I'm getting a raise, if I do. And I'm not talking about here. I get cost of living adjustments on my retirement check and stuff. And so when they go up, then my giving should go up. I do that. But sometimes I want to give a little bit more because I think I can. Because I want to give the best to God in every aspect of my life. So I'm challenging me to do more. Do you know, most preachers, when they get up, you think they're talking about you? They're not. They're talking about themselves, because they have examined themselves in the light of what they're going to say. And even if they're pointing their finger at you, and I don't do that, but if I did, there would be three right here pointing right back at me, because I learn, I rebuke myself more than any that I might do to you. But we preach what we preach to encourage you, because it encourages us. But if we're going to do all these things, we have to start by being right with God. Now, there's one more thing. I didn't bring it up. We can do more good works. We can have opportunities to... I kind of touched on it on another thing, but if somebody's sick or injured and they can't be among us, don't you know they would appreciate if you gave them a call or a text or an email or a card or something, or take them something to eat, because they're not able to do for themselves like they can usually, or maybe they just need some help doing some things, some simple things around their house because they're physically not able to right now. We can do more of that. God expects us to do good works. And what better way to do them than for our brethren? But we also need to understand this. If I'm going to do the best I can for God, it has to begin with, I have to be one of His children. I have to be one of His children. And He's given us the instruction on how to accomplish that. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6 says we have to believe in God. John 8:24 says we have to believe in Jesus. And both of those come from that hearing the Word of God. We have to have an understanding, Luke 13:3-5, that we are in need of repentance, turning away from the world and turning to God. We have to be willing, Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, to confess Him publicly, that He is the Son of God. Peter did it on multiple occasions. And then we have to be willing to submit ourselves to baptism. Acts 22:16, to have our sins washed away, that we will be made clean from our sins. And then once we are a born again child of God, He wants us to learn, to grow, to increase in all these things that we've been mentioning in our challenge this morning, to do more. That we would be faithful to Him all the way until we die, and even if we're faced with death, Revelation 2:10, for being faithful. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God because you've never obeyed the gospel, we would encourage you to do that today. Or maybe you've obeyed the gospel in the past, but He's not getting your best. Or even worse, the world is drawing you away, and there's sin in your life that needs to be confessed and repented of. Certainly, we want to give you that opportunity to get right with God right now. Won't you come as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?